Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Enter the Bible podcast, where you can get answers or at least reflections on everything you wanted to know about the Bible but were afraid to ask. I'm Katie Langston.
And I'm Catherine Schifferdecker. And today we have as our special guest Professor Jonathan Paradise, who is Professor Emeritus of Hebrew Studies at the University of Minnesota. And he's I said before, an old friend of mine, and then he joked about his age. So I'll just say a longtime friend of mine. Thank you for being here again, Jonathan. Good to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here, Catherine.
So our question today is from a listener. Again, if you have a question, you can go to the enterthebible.org website and send us the question. Here's the question for today. Is it a sin in the Old Testament to lend money with interest? So, Jonathan, we'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. I can answer this one very quickly, Catherine.
All right.
Yes and no.
Okay. Why doesn't that surprise me?
and sometimes.
Oh, that's good.
Certainly, you can find a negative attitude towards lending money on interest. For example, the prophet Ezekiel considers it one of the worst sins, an abomination, he calls it. In Christian tradition, up to a certain point, it was also considered a terrible thing. If I remember correctly, in Dante's Divine Comedy, the money lender goes to the seventh circle of hell. It's worse than being a murderer. So yes, here's an example of a passage. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, do not act toward them as a creditor. Exact no interest from them.
Where is that, Jonathan?
That's in Exodus chapter 22, verse 25. Similarly, it isn't just lending silver. The Hebrew word is kesef, silver.
Yeah.
But also, if you take your neighbor's garment in pledge, that's the collateral.
Yeah.
Then you have to give it back before the sun sets.
Yeah.
In Leviticus, if your kin, being in straits, come under your authority and are held by you as though resident aliens, let them live by your side. Do not exact advance or accrued interest, but fear your God, lest your kin live by your side as such. There's two words there. There's advance interest and accrued interest. There's two different terms for interest in the Bible. The first one, the Hebrew word is neshech, means to take a bite out of the money. So let's say I lend you $1,000, but I only give you $800.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So that's the bite out of it. The other one is accrued interest, where I give you $1,000, but you have to pay me back, let's say, $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them, in this case, are forbidden. In Deuteronomy, just to give you one more example, Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 and 20, you shall not deduct interest from loans to your fellow Israelites, whether in money or food or anything else that can be deducted as interest. Now, if you're paying close attention, you saw that these passages talk about lending money to your fellow Israelite.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say anything about lending money to an alien.
Sure.
Well, that's a loophole.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means that you could lend on interest to a non-fellow Israelite. I have to answer the question in a little bit more elaborate way, though.
Okay.
Because it's important for us to know that the laws of the Torah are not the same thing as the laws that the Jews actually follow. The Jews have a belief or a doctrine that when Moses got the Torah at Mount Sinai, he didn't actually get one Torah, he got two. The one is the written one, which we have in our Bibles. The oral one, God just spoke to him and Moses memorized it. And then when he came off the Mount Sinai, he communicated it to the elders of Israel. What's in the oral Torah? The oral Torah is the interpretation that rabbinic authorities have given to the written Torah. And it's all the interpretations that rabbis have given or will give to all time. And the effect of this teaching of the oral Torah is to allow for adaptation. It gives them flexibility. And that's a problem you have with any written constitution. In the case of our American Constitution, we can, with difficulty, change it. Right. But in the case of the Bible, we can't edit it.
Yeah.
We're stuck with it.
Right.
So what we got.
Right. So what do you do when you have a sacred text given by God? I was going to say himself, but that's, we don't talk about God.
You're right.
The Jews no longer refer to God in the male gender. anyway, except in Hebrew. So what do you do when you have a text that you can't change? You have to interpret it in such a way that it is something that you can agree with the values that it legislates.
So what happened with these? How did this develop historically then? These laws about interest or not charging interest.
What they did was create legal fictions that are essentially ways to evade the prohibition. So that, for example, the lender and the borrower become partners in a business. It's a fictitious business. Or you lend the money to a third person who is not Jewish, and then that person lends it to the other person. Things like that.
That
avoid the literal prohibition and allow you to get away with it.
Sure.
What's interesting is how elaborate, though, the rabbinical definition of a loan is with interest. So, for example, if I lend you money, and when you give me back the amount of money that I lent you, you also give me a gift, that's forbidden because that's considered interest.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't be allowed to give me that gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, they interpret the prohibition against interest quite strictly. Let's say that I actually don't lend you money and you don't pay me back the money. But we decide that we will barter. And I say, how about Ruth? Or how about Katie? If you actually do the work of putting a roof on my house, and you take 5 days to put the new roof on my house, and in exchange for that, I will teach you how to play the guitar for an equal number of hours. That's forbidden. The rabbis forbid that because it's harder work to go up on my roof than it is for me to teach you to play the guitar.
So much harder.
Yeah.
And indeed. In other words, that would be considered then a form of interest because you gave me back more than I got.
Hmm.
So there's rather elaborate discussions in the Jewish legal discussions about what constitutes interests.
So it's interesting because there's that strictness, right, about it's not just interest. What you just said, right, the prohibition on charging interest is strict, and it includes things like gifts or bartering labor. And at the same time, there are these kind of arrangements made so that loans can be made without breaking that law.
Yes. Let me give you some two practical, really important situations. The Torah says that just as human beings have to celebrate a Sabbath every 7 days and refrain from labor, so the earth has to have a Sabbath.
Right.
So the seventh year is part of a cycle. And during that seventh year, you're not allowed to cultivate your crops. And you're also any loan that was made is canceled right. in the seventh year.
Mm-hmm.
So that year is called the Shemitah year. So if you're a lender and a person comes to you, a poor person or any person comes to you and in the fifth year and says, would you lend me some money? The lender will say, well, no, I'm not, because you've won it, because you've got 2 years to pay it back. And if it's the seventh year and you haven't paid it back, the loan is canceled and I'll never get my money back because the entire loan is canceled. And then there's the Jubilee. Seven times seven, proclaim liberty throughout the land. We have on our liberty bell. That is actually a release from slavery and a release from debts. The Hebrew word dror means a release, a proclamation of release. So there too, what do you do with, let me put it this way. You have two goals. One goal is to prevent poor people from falling into perpetual debt, never getting out of poverty. And the other interest that a loan, the legal system would have, is making sure that the lender is protected also, so that the lender is willing to lend money.
Right.
So how do you satisfy those two goals? So in the case of the 7 year cycle. This is one of the earliest examples, by the way, of how the oral law, Katie, changes the written Torah. The famous Jewish scholar Hillel. You may know that there are Hillel houses on university campuses. They're all named for this famous scholar Hillel, called Hillel the Elder, or also called Hillel the Babylonian, because he was originally born in Babylonia. So he created a mechanism with the Greek name prosbul, which is a way of making sure that the loan is still in force. The loan is created through the mechanism of the courts. So you're not really lending another person. It's done through the court, and therefore the law doesn't apply. And then the creditor can get his money back. That was a very controversial thing. The Babylonian Talmud is astonished that Hillel had the daring to actually rule something that was in opposition to the literal teaching of the Torah, but he did it. So it set an important precedent for modifying the literal teaching of the Torah. Well, that's it. He lived at the end of the first century BCE and the first century CE. So it's quite early.
So am I right in saying that then in medieval times, Jews were often the money lenders because Christians
were following the Torah?
Right. Okay. Is that right? I thought that was true. So they said, well, you can lend to the Jews, right? You are the money lenders because you can lend money to non-Jews or you can charge interest to non-Jews.
That's right.
Breaking the Torah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
In that sense, it was very convenient to have a Jew.
Yeah. Right.
Sure.
right. I actually know of a case where a particular I don't know if it was a priest or even the Pope, but anyway, was interested in converting a lot of Jews. And the king actually said, well, you've gained a Christian, but I've lost a Jew. And the reason is that the interest rates on those loans that the Jews charged was very high, but they didn't get to keep it. Because they were the property of the overlords and ultimately of the king, so the Jew got part of the money and the rest of the money actually went to the feudal overlord of that Jew. But to pick up on your question, yes, the Jews were the moneylenders when it was still forbidden for Christians to charge money on a loan. The Jews were, there's two things to say here. The Jews were not allowed to be members of the guilds that were the crafts guilds. They weren't allowed to be carpenters or shoemakers, things like that, whatever it is. They weren't allowed to, but they could lend money. And so they were the money lenders and I'm sure hated for it as well.
Well, I was going to say that's not an occupation to endear you to the general population.
Right. The thrust of the biblical legislation is to try to help the poor and the needy.
Yeah.
They're worried about the poor and the needy, and they in many places in the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, what the Bible says is you have to be kind to the stranger, you have to be kind to the poor, you have to be kind to the widow. And then they always tag on, remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. You know what it means. You know what it's like to be in that kind of a inferior position. So therefore, behave accordingly. And so for reasons like that, you're not allowed to completely harvest your vineyard.
Right.
You're not allowed to completely harvest your field. You have to leave your vineyards and the corners of your fields unharvested so that the poor people can come and glean. If you remember the book of Ruth,
right,
a wonderful woman's story.
Yeah.
It's also a story about poor people.
Yeah.
It's true. That is true.
I think this is still relevant, honestly. If you think about payday lenders, right?
Yeah.
Who charge exorbitant interest, where do you find them? Well, you find them in the poorest neighborhoods, right? You find them in the neighborhoods where people are living paycheck to paycheck or even worse than that, right? Where paycheck isn't stretching far enough, and so they have to take out a loan in order to meet their needs. You can see why scripture forbids the charging of interest in that.
I actually looked it up.
Yeah.
The credit card indebtedness in the United States is in the trillions.
Wow.
It's just staggering. And the average rate of interest is very high. And I learned, I didn't know this before I prepared for this podcast.
Yeah.
The rate of interest is highest on credit cards that are in-store only credit cards. In other words, if you had a credit card that's only good in that store, then the interest rate is really high.
Wow. Yeah.
When my family moved from Milwaukee, Wisconsin to Minneapolis, my dad wanted to start a business. And the Jewish communities all over the United States and probably all over the world, and this has been something that is true historically amongst Jewish communities, have free loan societies. And they're interest-free loans. And my dad had to find a guarantor for his loan, but otherwise he got the money for no interest at all, and he had to pay it back. But those free loan societies still exist. There is a Jewish Free Loan Association in the United States. It's a national one that helps people of not just of Jews, but of all races and religions. And they collect zero interest for the loan that can be used for emergencies like your medical bills or your dental bills or small business loans or other good purposes. There's no collateral required at all. The only thing you have is a qualified guarantor.
Wow.
That's fascinating. I did not
That's
know.
That's really cool.
I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
More of those. More of those.
Well, so that that spirit of the, of taking care of the poor, of not charging interest continues. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you. This has been just a rich and fascinating and illuminating conversation. Jonathan, appreciate you so much being on the podcast today. And thank you to our listeners and viewers on YouTube. Remember, you can go to enterthebible.org and you can get more awesome content like this. We've got podcasts, videos, courses, commentaries, articles, reflections, all kinds of cool stuff. And of course, if you have enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please be sure to review us on Apple. 5 stars are great. Like us on YouTube. And of course, share the podcast with a friend. Until next time.